Ravana was awakened before dawn by the singing of the bards, who praised his glories to the accompaniment of musical instruments. And as he rose, Ravana began to think of Sita, for he was irresistibly drawn to her. Unable to suppress his sensual longing for the princess of Videha, Ravana set out for the Ashoka Grove, accompanied by 100 beautiful women, carrying golden lamps, chamaras, cushions, water, and other paraphernalia. Still under the influence of the previous night's intoxication, Ravana staggered along, followed by the lovely ladies, who appeared to be like flashes of lightning behind a cloud. When Hanuman saw Ravana approach, he concealed himself behind a cluster of leafy branches. And when Sita saw Ravana coming, she covered her body as best she could. Then, trembling violently, Sita sat down and began weeping. And as Sita sat upon the bare ground, she swayed back and forth like a frail boat tossing upon a stormy ocean. In her wretched condition, Sita appeared to be like an understanding that had become dim, like a hope that had become frustrated, like an order which has been flouted, or like a sacred altar which has been desecrated. Sita was like a full moon in eclipse, an army that had been routed, or a stream dried up from drought. Sita was like a pond whose lotus flowers had been uprooted, or like an extinguished flame, or birds fleeing out of fright. Sita's body had become emaciated, and her mind depressed from her fasting and grief. Ravana came before Sita and began speaking in the hopes of seducing her. O most fair and beautiful lady, why do you cover your shapely breasts and thin waist? O large-eyed beauty, I am afflicted with love for you, so please give up your shyness. Favor me, my beloved, and fulfill my unbearable longing to have you. It has always been the custom of Rakshasas to carry away or rape the wives of others. However, I shall not touch you as long as you do not voluntarily agree to have me in return. O lovely goddess, why are you lying upon the bare ground? And why do you wear dirty clothes and fast for no reason? Why do you tie your hair in a single braid and constantly sit brooding? Such behavior does not suit a ravishing princess like you. Become my queen and enjoy royal happiness beyond compare within these three worlds, for you will only have the best garlands, sandalwood paste, perfumes, and ornaments. And you shall eat the finest foods and drink the most ambrosial beverages. And you will lie upon the most luxurious couches and revel with music, singing, and dancing. O most lovely lady, youth quickly passes, and therefore your stubbornness is folly. Why, you have the loveliest face, fairer than the moon, and your bodily features are the perfection of all artistic workmanship. Become my beloved, and in return I shall do anything for your pleasure. If you like, I shall conquer the entire earth and present it as a gift to your father, King Janaka. Who can dare to defy me? Oh, Sita, after seeing you, I have become so enamored that I can no longer find pleasure in any of my wives, not even Mandodari. So why do you insist upon remaining faithful to Ram, who is a mere human being, who is a straw in the street in comparison to me? Why, I doubt whether Ram still lives. And even if he does, you may rest assured you will never see him again. Sita placed a straw between herself and Ravana as a symbol of her unwillingness to contact him directly. And then she gently replied, "You should withdraw your mind from me and remain contented with the consorts you already possess. For you will never be able to possess me, just as a sinful man fails to achieve perfection. I was born in a noble family and married according to religious principles, so I will never act contrary to the tenets of righteousness. There is no hope of your gaining my favor." Turning her back on Ravana, Sita continued, "Because you are acting perversely, directing yourself away from the path of virtue, you will become the cause for the destruction of your entire kingdom. Why not follow the example of good men who protect their wives and the wives of others? The fool who is dissatisfied with his own wife and seeks pleasure with the wives of others is doomed. Why do you ignore the advice of the wise and reject that which is good? Why are you so determined to cause the destruction of all the Rakshasas? Do you not know that everyone rejoices at the destruction of wicked persons? And as for me, I will never be tempted by your offers of insignificant opulence and royal comforts, for I am as inseparable from Ram as sunlight is from the sun. And the only way that you can save yourself from the wrath of Ram is to voluntarily deliver me back to him. So you should try to make friendship with Ram, for he is very merciful to those who take shelter of him. Otherwise, it will not be long before Ram and Lakshman come here and suck out your life breath with their arrows. You shall never escape Ram's vengeance, even though you may be capable of saving yourself from Indra's thunderbolt. It is only a matter of time before Ram finds you out and kills you for your wickedness." "I see. Generally, the more courteously a man treats a woman, the more agreeably she responds to him. But in your case, the opposite holds true. Why, I should kill you for your harsh words. But you are fortunate, however, because my love for you controls my anger like a charioteer that curbs unruly steeds. Indeed, love acts strangely, for the more a beloved mistreats her lover, the more he showers her with affection. It is for this reason alone that I do not kill you, although death and dishonor are what you deserve. Already, 10 months of your 1 year grace period have passed. Thus I shall wait only 2 more months. Then, if you still refuse to reciprocate my love, I shall have you chopped to pieces by my cooks and served for my breakfast." Several of Ravana's consorts that had been forcibly abducted by him were also present there, and upon hearing Ravana's threats, they felt sympathetic towards Sita. As Ravana prepared to depart, they briefly comforted Sita, their compassionate words giving Sita some small reassurance. Thus feeling encouraged, Sita again rebuked Ravana. "It must be that you do not have even a single well-wisher within your kingdom, for no one has tried to deter you from this ignoble act which is only meant for your destruction. Ram is like a mighty elephant, and you are but a tiny rabbit. You can speak boldly only while Ram is out of sight. Why, I could reduce you to ashes myself by utilizing my mystic powers, but I refrain from doing so because I have not received such an order from my husband Ram. Ravana, you are a fool, for it is simply impossible to kidnap the wife of Lord Ram. You have only been able to do so because this is the device Providence has chosen to have me as the instrumental cause of your death." Struck by these sharp words, Ravana hissed like a serpent, gazing at Sita with angry, bloodshot eyes. "I will kill you this very day. O Rakshasis, you must make Sita submit to me by any means possible, whether conciliation, gifts, or by force." Ravana then turned menacingly towards Sita, and it appeared that he might suddenly become violent. However, Mandodari, who had come with Ravana's youngest consort, Danyamalini, embraced her husband. "Oh, dear Ravana, come back to your palace now and enjoy with us. Forget about this pale, emaciated Sita. For when a man desires to enjoy a woman who does not love him, he only suffers. However, when the woman loves him in return, he enjoys extreme delight." And so, Ravana was thus dissuaded from further abusing Sita. Laughing conceitedly, he returned to his palace.